Father, I pray for each and every one of us here at the sound of my voice and the sound of my voice that comes through the internet, Lord, too. God, it's not about the length of our days, it's about the quality of our life. Father, I just pray that we would live quality lives, Lord, that we would not waste time. Yes, there are times and seasons of relaxation and fun and those kind of things, but Lord, I pray for the quality of our times and seasons of our life. Lord, we just thank you so much for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, we shifted Lake Church venues and had two rows of five chairs, and they were full. So I had a full house, Lake Church, this morning. I said, I'm the only pastor that can preach to 10 people in two rows, and the house is full. But God did a great work. There's a young couple that's been coming that just started, and they're just growing. They just love it. They're just beaming. And I love watching people beam after the Word of God is preached. Amen? So I want you guys to have beaming faces today. All right, that's the goal. All right, now we're in this series called Another One. And as we review, last week, two things that we reviewed from last week. One was visions. And God is still directing us, the body of Christ, by visions. We can have visions, we can have dreams. He's still using them today. Somebody say amen. Today. And Paul had this dream of this guy, and he said, hey, come over to Macedonia. I need some help over here in the kingdom, God told him. And so he went to Macedonia, immediately into the house of Lydia. She got saved in ministry from there. It was a great thing. But God is still using visions and dreams to direct us. Second thing for review was the miracle of deliverance of Paul and Silas. What a great story. They got pulverized. They had the daylights beat out of them, smashed them from one side of the head to the other. Bodies broken, blood everywhere, skin torn. And they hung them on a wall with chains in a deep prison, deep, deep prison. Who knows what was on the floor? Who knows what was on the wall? Who knows how ugly it was? And yet, they didn't squall and they didn't bawl. But at midnight, they decided, well, let's have church. So in our darkest hour, we need to have church. We need to have worship. They began singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The Bible says singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And all of a sudden, there was a shaking in the prison, and every prison door opened up. I just visually don't think Hollywood can match that. Every prison door was open. And we know, as a keeper of the prison, if any prisoners escape, you lose your life, period. So the keeper of the doors were ready to kill himself. And Paul yelled out, no, no, we're all still here. He goes, what planet are you from? Right? And so, as the story goes, he preached to that Philippian jailer. He got saved. They went to their house and saved the whole household. Because he asked the best question on the planet. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? What a fabulous line. What must I do to be saved? And he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to cling to trust in, and to rely on. To cling to trust in, and to rely on. So that's where we need to walk our lives out. Okay, so that was review. So let's do another story. Everyone say another one. We're doing one story today. Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. And now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And this was in northern Greece, by the way. So Paul, as his custom was, went in to them and for three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Stop right there. This Jesus that I'm preaching to you is who? The Christ, the Messiah, for 4,000 years. How many ever years? Somebody correct me on that, but a lot of years they were waiting for the Messiah. And he had the gall to say, stand up and say, I've met him. I met him on the side of the road. He made me blind for 3 days. He's real. He's back. Arnold Schwarzenegger doesn't have the line, I'm back. Jesus was back. Come on. The Yeshua HaMashiach, the Savior, the Son of the living God, had come back. And he was preaching to the Jews. That's who he was preaching about. Verse 4. And some of them were persuaded. Yeah. You know what? It is okay to persuade people to believe in Jesus. We need to be more persuasive in our witnessing. This is real stuff. The hour is short. And a great multitude of devout Greeks, not a few of them, and not a few of the leading women, joined with Paul and Silas. But the Jews, who were not persuaded, became envious, took some evil men from the marketplace, gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar, and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Jason has harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus. May God add a blessing to the teaching and reading of his word. Nothing new under the sun. Let's have verse 5, Larry, please. Nothing new under the sun. This is still going on today. Verse 5 is still taking present today. Jews who were not persuaded, they got envious, took some evil men in the marketplace, gathering a mob, set the city in an uproar, attacked the house of Jason. We see that. We see leaders turning their eyes against evil. Happened in Minneapolis. Unbelievable. I never thought I'd ever grow up and have mobs and things going on and have the police turn their eyes, turn their backs, just let them riot. Really? That's not the way I grew up. Yeah. So nothing new under the sun. And then in verse 6, this is one of the greatest lines in the book of Acts. They didn't find him. They dragged Jason, some of the brethren, and rulers out of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here too. We need to be turning our worlds upside down. The worlds that we live in. I don't live in your world. You don't live in my world. But we need to turn our worlds upside down. Yeah. How do we do that? Preaching Jesus. Jesus needs to turn their worlds upside down, right? Yeah. And one of the marks of the champions that we see in the Scriptures is courage. It takes courage. It takes courage. Someone say it takes courage. It takes a lot of courage. So I thought, okay, Lord, let's preach on courage. So let's look at this. Definition of courage. Courage is strength in the face of pain or grief. When we think about war, we are at war, which is not in a physical war necessarily, but you could see that courage is what you want to put into a soldier. We're soldiers for the army of God, right? And we need to have courage, strength in the face of pain or grief. Then the other thing is a strength of mind to carry on in spite of difficulty or dangers, right? Now, I want to talk about biblical courage. Biblical courage is not the absence of fear, but a willingness to obey God's calling and purpose. Now think about that for a minute. Biblical courage is not the absence of fear. The movie Braveheart, great illustration of fear, but still having courage in the midst of fear. We need to have courage in the midst of fear. And that willingness to continue that calling and purpose. Let's look at Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. I don't know what bad courage would be, but it says good courage there, right? And he'll strengthen you. See, if we take a step in courage, he'll strengthen us. When we take that step, that courageous step, he'll strengthen us. The strength will come. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, awesome. I love that. So that let's look at some examples to kind of build our faith up a little bit here. You know, when you think about Moses, you know, Moses was born in Egypt, and God took him out of Egypt, and he says, guess what? Guess where you're going to do your ministry? You're going back to Egypt, right? Sometimes God takes us back to our Egypts to plant the kingdom of God, because Egypt needs the kingdom of God. And all of us have different realms of our lives that need the kingdom of God, and sometimes he takes us back to them. And the promise, of course, God said, I will be with you. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to leave you alone. It's on. You do it yourself. Is that what Jesus said? He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Come on. He's always there with us. Hallelujah. So Moses, great example. David. David had courage in something way bigger than himself. And he stood on the promises of God. And he said, let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Goliath had the entire nation and army of Israel squeezing in his hand. Goliath had them all. He had the entire country squeezed by his hand. But David said, I'll go. I'll stand up to the giant. I'm not afraid. Right? 1 Samuel 17, verse 37. This was his confession. For the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me. He will deliver me. He will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said, go, and the Lord be with you. What comes out of your mouth will determine the action of your life. Let me say it again. What comes out of your mouth will determine the action of your life. Let's go back to that verse, Larry. What comes out of your mouth will determine the action of your life. What did David say? He said, for the Lord will deliver me from this hand of this Philistine. That was his prophetic promise, that the Lord was going to deliver him from the hand of the Philistine. He turned a nation around because he was in that realm of faith that was relentless, that pursuit of faith. What comes out of your mouth determines the actions of your life. What comes out of your mouth determines the actions of your life. We've got to have these promises on the tip of our tongue so we have them ready to go. Esther faced a certain death going into the king to foil Haman's plan to destroy the Jews. And you know what I thought of the other day when I heard about a rocket hitting Israel? There's still a spirit of Haman going on. And we need to bind that devil. We need to bind that massive stronghold of Haman, which is out to destroy the Jews. Hallelujah. But God. But God. Everyone say, but God. But God is able to deliver them from the hand of Haman. Amen? Yeah. He did it in the Seven-Day War. Forgive me for not knowing what year that was, but the Seven-Day War. You know, I knew an Orthodox Jew in college, and she told me how the army men came back, and they saw the hand of God in that Seven-Day War in the sky. God putting his hand on it. need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem all the time, regularly. Hallelujah. But Esther faced that death, and she was like the other great patriarchs in the Old Testament. It's not so bad to fear, but just don't let it control you. But she didn't have any fear. It took a year, and she went in, and the king accepted her. Hallelujah. And she saved the Jews. Daniel. He had the courage. Everyone say courage. Courage to pray against a law, a death law, that you can't pray. You know what he did? He opened up his window and said, "Watch me." Let's be like that. Watch me. Watch me do this, world. Watch me do this. Watch me. Just watch me. I love the song, "We'll Come to the Altar." It's got great, great history in our life. Somebody said, "How can a dentist go? He'll preach the gospel." Well, we did. Went up to a campus on Wayne State. And the ending song was, "We'll Come to the Altar." And we had a number of young people give their life to Christ. And we had a number of women who were delivered from abuse that night. We were just willing to go. Yeah, that song just rips me apart every time I hear it. Hallelujah. Put me on the floor. So Daniel, he had the courage to pray against that death law and say, "Watch me." Caleb. Love Caleb. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. "Let us go up yesterday. Let us..." Maybe we shouldn't go. Maybe we ought to pray about it. Maybe we ought to think about this. I'm not sure about this. You know, I don't know. I don't know if we ought to do this or not. I'm not convinced. "Let us go up right now and take the possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Let's go up now and take possession of the land, for we are able to overcome it." We are well able. Say, "I'm well able." We can take our land. Hallelujah. You know, I thought I'd throw a modern day testimony in here. Most of you don't know that Joe used to be a very successful banker. And I threw his name in here because he's a great testimony of making a difference on the planet. Now, since you know that he was a banker, he used to help people with their thousands. Instead, now he's preaching to thousands. I thought it was cute. You can laugh or not. I don't care. Mary laughed, and that's all that matters. But he took the courage to leave a very, very successful career. I won't go into the details, but he did some amazing things in Omaha. And yet he said, "No, I'm going to answer the call of God." And now he's preaching to thousands. Isn't that awesome? We get the pleasure to support him. Let's look at Psalm 27 one more time. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." You know, we do have times where our heart isn't strong, but God wants to strengthen our hearts. I believe he wants us to be strong in this time, in this hour. Hallelujah. So I'm going to end with this little saying that my darling wife came up with this morning. When I talked about what comes out of your mouth determines the action of your life, he goes, "What comes out of your mouth determines the action of your life, because words matter." Everyone say, "Words matter." That was a series I did. And we need to be all in. Say, we need to be all in, right? So we can experience another one. I go, "That was really good." Let's stand. Help us, God, by your grace, to be all in. Help us, God, to keep both feet in the kingdom of God and not step back into the flesh. Help us, God, to have hearts that are strengthened by you, to do the work of the ministry, which is just sharing Jesus with a lost and a dying world. So, Lord, I just pray, God, that we would continue to grow in our faith in you, believing that we all have another one coming, another person to share with, another person to pray with, another person to encourage. Hallelujah. And so, we bless you, Lord, and we love you, Lord. So receive the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace, his shalom, his health, his peace, and his prosperity. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.